Missionary Work, Battle Creek, Michigan, January 9, 1891. I have been laboring 2 months and 2/3 of the third month constantly, and although I commenced in much feebleness and was afflicted with infirmities, the Lord wrought in behalf of His people. We have seen the salvation of God. In this round of labor, I spoke 55 times, and some of these meetings were occasions of most earnest labor, continuing from 2:30 till 5 and 6 o'clock, but always successful. On one occasion, I was much perplexed to know and to understand my duty. I had painful gatherings in my ear that with severe colds made it hard for me. At Salamanca, New York, I was severely afflicted and thought I must return home. I went to my chamber and bowed before God, and before I had even asked, the Lord heard and revealed Himself. The room seemed to be full of the light and presence of God. I was lifted out of all my discouragements and was made free and happy. I could not sleep, but I praised God with heart and voice. This blessing was just what I needed. Courage and faith and hope were again in lively exercise, and I went on my way rejoicing. Again, at Brooklyn, New York, I had a deep, earnest desire for the Lord to work with His people. Oh, how my heart was drawn out in wrestling prayer to God that He would manifest His power on the Sabbath day and greatly bless His people. He did all this, and far more than I had asked. It seemed that a tidal wave of the glory of the Lord swept over the congregation, and many, many souls were filled with the rich blessing of God. And this occasion to them was one never to be forgotten. They bore testimony that the power of God thrilled through and through them. Some persons were as pale as death, but their countenances were shining with the glory of God. This church had been newly raised up and was in need of encouragement. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, for the great goodness and mercy of God. One brother in a prominent position in the Chicago mission had been so weighted down with discouragement that we all feared that he would separate from the work, but he was present at that meeting and was greatly blessed. He said that he came to that meeting heavy in heart and under a dark cloud, but the Lord Jesus met him while bowed in prayer. We had called them forward, but he did not come, but the Lord met him. I seemed to have the Lord Jesus close beside me, he said. How lovely, how precious, I thought I could touch him. I know Jesus was by my side. And then he broke out in a description of Christ as seen by the eye of faith. He was a man very reticent, of but few words, but his tongue was loosed, his language was eloquent, as he expressed the attributes of Christ as he was revealed to him. Said he, "I am as light as a feather. I am happy in God, and I want to get back to Chicago and tell them what the Lord has wrought for me." Others bore testimony of the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon them. From this time, my health improved decidedly. I spoke in Washington 8 times, commencing with Sabbath and closing the next Sabbath. I went to Baltimore on Sunday and spoke in a small hall full of people with great freedom. Then I had a severe attack with my head and was obliged to hasten home. As soon as I reached home, the pain left me, and I found that I was needed here. I spoke here Friday and Sabbath with great freedom. The Lord had been working here the Sabbath before, and the work here needed my testimony. Elder Smith has fallen on the rock and is broken. Praise the Lord for this. He has made humble acknowledgments, and the Lord will surely manifest Himself to Elder Smith. Oh, I am so glad that Satan's power is broken here in Battle Creek. I tell you, there has been a resistance of my testimony. By some men of influence, such as Elder Smith, there has been a counteracting of the messages that God has given to me for His people. The Lord is at work, and I pray that it may not cease till it shall be perfected in righteousness. I tell you, the Lord is not asleep. He knows the conflicts of his people. He sees the multitudes struggling against the powers of evil angels combined with evil men. The truth for this time is invested with a power which will make itself felt upon human minds, for the Spirit accompanies and gives it effect.
God has a work for each and a work for all. The recipients of His grace, moved by the Spirit of truth, will throw their sanctified human influences into the work. The cross of Christ must occupy the central place, Christ be lifted up as never before, and the attention of the people be riveted upon the world's Redeemer. We know comparatively little of the glory that attends the truth. Oh, we have so little faith. Jesus came to be the center of the recovered world. Says Christ, "I will implant the Holy Spirit in every heart that will open to me. I will be a living, abiding power in every element of influence, and engage every holy agency in the universe." All evil influences have confederated to corrupt and destroy. All who believe on me shall under my banner combine to oppose them. I will conduct the warfare. I will give efficiency to the whole. We must possess the missionary spirit in a large degree. In his lessons to his disciples, Christ was constantly teaching them that they must unite the human agency with the divine worker. They are to be active in doing good. They are to be the light of the world, catching the radiance of light from His throne, and to transmit it to the world which Satan has enshrouded with his hellish shadow like a funeral pall. Not only are the rays of light to shine in the home circle, but to the church in bright and distant rays. And again, not to the church only, but the whole world. See how much is contained in the prayer of Christ in the 17th chapter of John, constantly identifying himself and combining himself with his believing people, and his believing people binding up with himself for the work of the salvation of a lost world. In his ministry, he shows them the confederacy of evil arrayed against them, and reveals to them that they are in warfare with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. But angels unite to compose that army. They are mingling in their ranks. The captain of the Lord's host is advancing with his army of heavenly angels to the work. Jesus is standing but a step, as it were, from the completion of his great sacrifice for the world. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures." Mark 16, verse 15. He repeats his injunction over and over again in different forms, that they might, after his death and resurrection and ascension to heaven, take in the significance of his words. After his resurrection, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day, and that remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Luke 24, verse 45 to 47. "Ye shall receive power from on high, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts 1, verse 8. He knew that peculiar trials would assail them, and he declares, "All power is mine." Matthew 28, verse 18. He assured them that they must go out under the shield of omnipotence. "Lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world." Verse 20. "Go" was his last word spoken to his disciples, and this was the last indication of his will while he was upon the earth. Verse 19. His first act in heaven corresponded with his expressed will on the earth. His Holy Spirit was sent to them in rich abundance. The heavenly endowment was given. We know the apostles commenced their work in Jerusalem. 3,000 were converted in a day. May the Lord arouse his people to action, is my prayer. There is need for every individual member of the church to arouse to work for Jesus. The calls are coming in from every clime. Come over and help us. Acts 16, verse 9. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. There is our work laid out in a comprehensive manner for the diffusion of the truth. Jesus opened the fountain of life in the midst of the world, and every soul who knoweth the Father and the Son are to be laborers together with God, and to repeat the words in fullness and power. Come. All are to stop their fretting with one another. All are to combine their living, sanctified influence, and with one voice say, Come, send the word along. Come, all along the lines, a chain of living voices united with determined effort ring around the globe, and the whole church is to awake from the death-like slumber and say, Come, and to act in character the invitation they make. Come.
No man or woman is excused in ease or indolence in this great or solemn work. We cannot copy the example of the world at all in anything. There must be no needless expenditure of God's entrusted capital. There must be a binding about of our supposed wants. Life is valuable, too full of solemn, sacred responsibility to be used in pleasing self. Let men and women consecrate themselves to the work. They must be loyal to Jesus Christ and reveal their love to men by letting their light shine forth in clear, bright rays to the world. Everyone must now rise superior to every phase of self-indulgence and selfishness, and live their lives to God, abiding in Christ. Everyone who knows Christ by experimental knowledge will copy his example. They will constantly endeavor to rise higher and still higher, not seeking the friendship of the world, but possessing a high and sanctified ambition to copy the example of Christ in perfection of Christian character, and be co-laborers together with God. They are not to praise men or to seek the praise of men, for all praise and all glory belongs to God.